From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you and welcome. Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are broadcasting live here in Green Bay, Hagemeister Park. That's where you can find us. And we have to start off by saying thank you to the meter maid or the parking lady or the attendant or whatever politically correct statement is that they're called who came to give me a ticket. And Jason from WNFL runs outside and said, "That's Bill Michaels' car." And she went, "I wanted to come down here for that broadcast. Is it still going on?" So she didn't give me a ticket. So thank you very much. I'm at a meter, and I didn't get a chance to run out there and feed the meter during the break. So thanks for, if she's listening, I'll buy you a beer. Although you can't drink while you're actually driving around giving out tickets. So if you want to come back, I'll give you a coupon for a beer. Come on by and say hi. We are broadcasting live at Hagemeister Park. We're in downtown Green Bay over on Washington Street. Stop on by and say hi as we get you ready for the Packers and the Lions coming up a little bit later on tonight. Radio Joe is back in the studio. You can get a hold of us on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels, or @RadioJoeSports. You can also find us on the Facebook fan page. Track us down there. It's always with the blue verified check mark. There's always the website. Go to Bill Michaels, M-I-C-H-A-E-L-S, BillMichaelsSports.com. That is BillMichaelsSports.com. And this game is really the interest for me is to see what they do with Brett Hundley. Obviously, the defense, don't get me wrong, but how much Brett Hundley is kind of unleashed, so to speak, and how they skew things in Brett Hundley's favor in this ball game via play calling and such. So that's what I'm excited to see. Brett Hundley spoke to the media the other day, and he talked about how his concern or was their concern, because this team, remember, Mike McCarthy pounded the podium, said, "Look, Brett Hundley's my guy, 3 years in the system, comfortable with the quarterback room." And then all of a sudden you hear that the team may be reaching out to Brian Hoyer. Was he concerned at all?
No, I really don't look at that stuff. You know, my mind is on winning and playing the best I can.
Brett Hundley said enjoyed the bye week, though. Did get a chance to get away a little bit. When we had Jeff Janis on the Horse and Plow Huddle a few weeks back, Jeff Janis said that he had a little hunting spot that he liked to go to and spend some time. And apparently him and Brett Hundley got away, and they went and talked, and they went hunting.
It was a great timing for the bye week. And, you know, I got to study a lot more, but I also got to sort of take a breath and get away from football. You know, if you guys didn't see, I went hunting in Jeff Janis's backyard, so shot my first deer. And got my mind off for a little bit.
Timing of the bye week, I think, was crucial. Obviously, you get some injuries. This team had 14 people on the injury report at one point, many of which weren't playing. So this team not only needed a bye to get healthy, but a bye after a couple of weeks with Brett Hundley under center to self-scout, to look at things and to say, okay, we need to now skew things for Brett Hundley. And he said the timing of the bye week was perfect.
Yeah, no, it couldn't have been better. It was probably the best timing, especially just, you know, to get a start under my belt, get the cobwebs out, and now we got the last stretch of the season and, you know, came at perfect timing.
So we heard from Aaron Rodgers early in the program, and he talked about what he could contribute to Brett Hundley's productivity, and he basically said, look, maybe the best thing for him right now is to not do anything and just wait for, you know, Brett to come to him. But we asked Brett Hundley, what is it like having Aaron Rodgers back from L.A. and back in the quarterback meetings?
Really good. You know, he's been a positive influence, not only on me, but the team. And, you know, he always brings a good spirit around.
Brett Hundley was asked, what did he and Mike McCarthy talk about in the meetings after the loss to the Saints?
You know, we just talked about every play. We always do that after games, though, so it's nothing new. We just go through play-by-play and go through everything.
Now, when Hundley was at UCLA, remember, we talked about this earlier, that he was more of a mobile quarterback. He could be a read option guy. He was out on the roll. He moved quite a bit. And he was asked, does he prefer being that mobile quarterback versus what you see in the NFL more often than not, and that's more so of a pocket passer?
No, I think I like doing it all. You know, when we got a pass in the pocket, you know, our offense is built when it's there. It's there. You know, we're going to take it. We're going to make our throws. But when it's not, you know, that's when you'll see us. Aaron did it a lot. You know, I'm a product of that. I do it a lot. When it's not there, you take off rolling and make something happen.
The only guy that is probably questionable for this ball game, more so than any, is Martellus Bennett. Even Lane Taylor with that ankle is limited in participation. Whether or not he's back, we'll have to wait and see. But the question was posed to Brett Hundley. You know, you've pretty much got everybody back, short of Martellus Bennett on the offensive line and such. What's it going to be like finally playing under center with a complete offensive line?
You know, it's always nice when you have your starting line out there, I'll tell you that. And, you know, I'm always happy. I don't ever complain with that. So, but, you know, we can always do anything we want. You know, even with everybody else in there, you know, our game plan is our game plan. What we do is what we do.
And then he says that having Aaron Rodgers kind of at his side, while Aaron's not on the field, it's certainly going to help.
Aaron's always been a brother to me, so, you know, whenever you have people like that around, you know, you always feel better.
Now, Mike McCarthy at the podium has said time and again that he has full confidence in Brett Hundley. Time and again. He had 3 years in the system. I'm comfortable with our quarterback room. This is our guy. Even when Mike McCarthy was asked about going after Brian Hoyer, Mike kind of deflected it and left it up to Ted and such, saying, hey, look, Brett's my guy. So when Brett Hundley was asked, what does it mean to have your head coach over and over and over again publicly state, that's my guy?
Yeah, I love McCarthy. You know, I love this team. I love the coaches. And, you know, our goal is to win games. So, you know, their confidence in me helps me a lot. But, you know, I'm going out there. I'm trying to win games and help them out.
Hell yeah. Oh,
there you go. Mike's always listening. Now, this is the Lions, and the Lions are a familiar foe. This is a team that they faced numerous times. Brett Hundley's familiar with. He's been in that study room. So this should help him in the sense of preparation, getting ready for a team that he has faced, getting ready for a head coach, schematically who he's faced before. This should help him.
You know, division games are always, you know, you sort of know the opponent a lot better. The Saints, we hadn't played them in a while, so don't really have any. I didn't personally have any tape on them other than I think I played them in the preseason, but that doesn't help. But the Lions have a lot of film on them, have a lot of already studied them, sort of know what they do, how they do it, and why they do it. And, you know, it'll be fun.
What does Brett Hundley hope to improve on in this game against the Lions?
Just everything. I think moving the ball and scoring points and winning. That's the name of the game.
Now, Mike McCarthy has said that Brett Hundley, he wants to get targets. He needs to get Jordy, he needs to get Devontae, he needs to get Randall all into the mix. He needs to get his targets moving. He needs to get his guys on the run. He needs to get familiarity and a comfort level. So what does it mean when he says, McCarthy saying, I need to get all these guys involved?
You know, we just got to get him the ball, get him the rock. And that's my job as a quarterback. You know, they'll get the ball, they'll get their touches, and they'll make the most of it.
Brett Hundley was asked also in his presser, describe your personality to Packers fans.
First off, you know, the fans are awesome out here. But, you know, I'm a fun-loving guy. So I love football. And, you know, I like eating. I think that's the number one thing. I like to eat and I like to cook. I like to travel. And, you know, just watch my social media account. You'll get a lot more from that, too.
There you go. He's already pimping the social media sites. He also talked about the pressure because, remember, it was Brett Favre, then Aaron Rodgers, and now for a period of time you got Brett Hundley. And he's talking about the pressure of kind of following in those shoes.
You know, it's nice. My name is Brett. That goes a long way here. So that's a nice little thing. But other than that, you know, they've been used to Brett and Aaron. And now there's another Brett. Just my last name's Hundley, so.
He also said that he does realize, in all seriousness, you know, filling in for Aaron Rodgers, who's a future Hall of Famer, a guy that's one of the best in the business, there's a pressure, there's a challenge here for him to perform well.
You know, obviously, when a guy like 12 goes down, you know, he's a Hall of Famer. You know, it's hard to replace a guy like him. I've been, you know, learning from him for 3 years. But at the end of the day, you know, now, you know, I'm just praying for him and hoping his recovery goes well. But, you know, we got to get out there and we got to win games. You know, our season is over, and that's exactly what I mean. You know, we still have everything in front of us. We got a, you know, a long stretch coming up, but we got to make the most of it. And, you know, our expectations are still the same.
So there you have it. That is Brett Hundley talking to the media and giving his perspective on what's about to happen as the Packers get ready to take on the Detroit Lions at Lambeau Field. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Cousin Subs, where they believe in better. You deserve better. At Cousin Subs right now, they want to give you the best seats in the house. If you want to go to Packers.com/best seats, that's Packers.com/best seats, they may be able to put you at the 50-yard line of Lambeau Field, plush leather recliners, sit back, kick back, enjoy yourself, hopefully as the Packers get a win. But that being said, stop into Packers.com. Just go there, /best seats, fill out the registration form. You're good to go. It's that simple. I encourage you on your way, if you're not going to stop off here at Hagemeister Park, then stop into your local Cousin Subs and get yourself some tailgate fare. There you have it. It's as simple as that. That is better. And they believe in better. You deserve better. There you have it. Stick around when we come back. The football frenzy is up next. Big weekend in the NFL. Although we were missing six teams because they had some byes this week. But a lot of football played over the weekend, a lot of good stuff happening. We're going to talk more about it coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
16 stations strong, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Another big football weekend.
Rodgers, wide open first down, caught.
Time to look around the rest of the league.
Caught, touchdown, Detroit Lions, Kenny Galladay, and rookie welcome to the game.
Watch Antonio Brown, throws it underneath, touchdown.
This is the football frenzy on the Bill Michaels Show.
Inside the five, Riddick at the two, Riddick to the end zone, touchdown, Detroit Lions.
Harry again, got home. Fourth down.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin Laborers District Council. They train, you gain.
Trying to get them with 12 men on the field, and they may have.
For apprenticeship info and the location of the local near you, go to wylaborers.org.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show, live from Hagemeister Park here in Green Bay on Washington Street, and a good crowd in here for lunch. Stop on by, and if you're getting ready for the Packers and the Lions, Packers at 4-3, Lions at 3-4, coming up tonight, swing by and say hi. I'm here until 2 o'clock, then Gary Ellerson, my partner for the Green and Gold postgame show, he is going to be joining us. Gary will be here from 2 until, I don't know, 4 or 5 or something like that. Gary's going to be over here doing his local show out of Milwaukee. And for those of you that follow us on the Facebook fan page, you can go there now as we are broadcasting live on Facebook Live. You can see the show there. You can see me. You can see around Hagemeister Park and see this beautiful restaurant and pub and 27 beers on tap. And I can go on and on about it. Hagemeister Park is a place to be. If you're not here, you got something wrong with you. I don't know what else to say. We'll just leave it at that. It was a big weekend in the NFL. The frenzy gets started in a wild, wacky way. The Jaguars and Bengals going at it. 23-7 the final. But really, that wasn't the story. The mild-mannered A.J. Green and Jalen Ramsey, they get into it. Take a listen.
He grabbed him in a chokehold and slammed him to the ground.
I mean, they are A.J. Green slammed Jalen Ramsey to the ground. I mean, picked him up and slammed him to the ground. He's got to be ejected.
I have never in all my years in the NFL seen a player do something so bad. A.J. Green grabs Jalen Ramsey around the neck, slams him to the ground, and Jalen Ramsey wasn't even fighting back.
A.J. Green just threw his helmet off.
A.J. Green should be ejected and suspended
for weeks. Without a doubt he should be. And both empties. Or both the sidelines have not emptied. The Bengals sideline is empty and trying to get A.J. Green under control.
And they're still going at it. There's more Jaguars going out with other. You got Adam Jones out there, which isn't a surprise.
I mean, A.J. Green, that should be about as long an on-field suspension as a player can get.
I have never seen that in all my years around the National Football League ever. I've lost respect for A.J. Green.
Didn't we just see that not too long ago with the Titans, I think, where you had players, it was the Titans. Joe, do you remember off the top of your head who the player was, the defensive back and the wide receiver kept getting into it, and finally that's when the personal foul or personal conduct penalty came into play a couple of years ago. There was, I can't remember, was it Finnegan? Was the defender? Kept getting into fights. So we've seen this before, but I don't think we've seen anything this egregious before. But A.J. Green picked up Ramsey and just slammed him to the ground. But that was really it for the Bengals. As a matter of fact, A.J. Green should play defense because their defense sucks. They can't tackle. He was the best tackler they had. 23-7, the Bengals go down in ugly fashion. Titans and Ravens, Mariota, Marcus Mariota, Eric Decker, here it is.
Mariota rolls right, looking back to the left. He fires, man is wide open. Decker, touchdown, Titans. Eric Decker in the red zone. And the young maestro gets off the deck, leads his team 75 yards when the money's on the line.
There you go, and that is the Titans radio network. By the way, I was right. It was Finnegan, Cortland Finnegan, but he was going up against Andre Johnson of the Texans. I thought, it's 7 years ago that happened. I didn't realize it's been that long. 7 years ago. Thank you very much, Radio Joe, back in the studios all over. By the way, in that ball game, Marcus Mariota, 19 of 28, 218 yards, three sacks, but a couple of touchdowns, had a quarterback rating of 100 with a pick to go alongside all of that. Then you continue to move on. The Saints and the Buccaneers, Alvin Kamara, he scores his second of the afternoon. Here it is.
Brees handing it off. Kamara walks into the end zone, spikes the football, and the Saints celebrate once more.
There you have it. Kamara, he goes into the end zone twice. As a matter of fact, Drew Brees, 22 of 27, 263 yards, 36-yard bomb he threw for a touchdown. Also, a couple of touchdowns on the day, nary a pick, 131.9 quarterback rating. It doesn't get much better than that, and the Saints continue to roll. They have won now six straight after starting off the season at 0-2, and they're looking like a power now in the NFC. Meanwhile, the Rams and the Giants, Jared Goff throws his fourth touchdown of the game, hooks up with Robert Woods for the second time.
Second down and goal from the four. Goff is under center, strong right. He fakes the handoff, straight backdrop, looking to the end zone, all alone for the touchdown. Caught for the Rams score by Robert Woods. Came in with no touchdowns. Today he has two. And the Rams are blowing out the Giants 40-10 with a point after to come.
That was a severe butt-kicking. 14 out of 22, 311 yards, four touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 146.8 for Jared Goff. Eli Manning sucking swamp water, 20 of 36, 220 yards, a pick, a couple of touchdowns, 80.8 quarterback rating, but 51-17 before a paid attendance of 76,000. 51-17. What an ugly, ugly performance. And the Giants continue to – as a matter of fact, there was a lot of talk whether or not McAdoo would last through the weekend. The Giants sitting at 1-7. The Rams, believe it or not, out west, sitting at 6-2 on the season. The Colts and Texans, Jacoby Brissett finds T.Y. Hilton for the touchdown.
Back to throw is Brissett again. He throws upfield, caught by Hilton. 30, 35, 40, 45, 50, 45, 40. Cuts back in at the 35 and goes down at the 33. They said nobody touched him. He's going to go all the way in, and touchdown, I think.
Yes.
Yes, a touchdown, 80-yard pass play. T.Y. Hilton went down. He jumped over a body. Nobody touched him.
Touchdown, I think. 20 of 30, Jacoby Brissett, 308 yards, a couple of touchdowns. That long right there, 80 yards. He gets a quarterback rating of 122.6. T.Y. Hilton, by the way, targeted nine times, five catches. 175 yards, five catches, 175 yards. He averaged 35 yards a catch in yesterday's ballgame. 35 yards a catch. Meanwhile, Cardinals, 49ers, Drew Stanton, Jermaine Gresham for the touchdown.
First and 10 on the 11 of San Francisco. Shotgun snap. Stanton straight drop back. Looks right, throws right in the end zone. It is caught for a touchdown. It's pulled in by Jermaine Gresham. Two touchdown passes in the first half for Drew Stanton.
Drew Stanton on the Cardinals radio network, 15 of 30, 201 yards, filling in for the injured Carson Palmer. He throws a couple of touchdowns, one pick on the day. Larry Fitzgerald never ages, didn't get into the end zone, but five catches, 75 yards in that one. Gresham, a couple of catches, 23 yards on the day, but that one right there, a 12-yard touchdown pass and reception as the Arizona Cardinals ended up getting the win 20-10. They go to 4-4. They're just trying to hang on and survive. Meanwhile, the 49ers in a race with the Browns for the worst record in the National Football League, they go to 0-9 on the season. Redskins, Seahawks, Rob Kelly, he scores his second of the afternoon.
First and goal at the one for the Redskins to take the lead here. 1:02 to play in the game. Cousins has him huddled up. Rob Kelly, the running back, will try to punch it in here. Fullback is Ryan Anderson, the linebacker, playing fullback today. Everybody's bunched in tight. Cousins takes, gives to Rob Kelly. Rob Kelly with the drive to the goal line. Redskins touchdown! 59 seconds to go, and the Redskins take the lead.
Terrible day rushing. I mean, only total of 51 yards. Kelly, 14 carries, 18 yards, but two touchdowns on the day. Meanwhile, Thompson, four carries, 20 yards. The defense for the Seahawks not giving much up, but they're not doing much offensively either. Russell Wilson, 24 of 45, only 297 yards, a couple of sacks, two touchdowns, but two costly picks, quarterback rating of 70.3. There you have it as the Seattle Seahawks take it on the chin. Panthers and Falcons, a good one. Christian McCaffrey, the four-yard run here.
Stewart slightly behind Newton. McCaffrey behind Stewart. The fake to Stewart, the flip to McCaffrey, trucking left, got a touchdown, Carolina.
Panthers hang on to win this ball game. I didn't think the Panthers would get it. Cam Newton, 13 of 24, nothing impressive about his day. 137 yards. He ends up running for 86 yards, though, along being a 34-yard first down pickup and a touchdown on the day. McCaffrey, 15 carries, 66 yards, and that touchdown right there. But what has happened to the Atlanta Falcons? They are reeling right now. Atlanta falls in this one in ugly fashion. Atlanta goes to 4-4. Panthers at 6-3. And that was on the Panthers radio network. Meanwhile, throughout the rest of the NFL, the Eagles and the Broncos. Who knew that the Eagles were going to be this good? Wisconsin's own Corey Clement, his third, count him, third touchdown of the game on Wisconsin.
Bowles under center. Motion to the near side. It goes to Clement. Up the middle he goes, and he's heading for the touchdown.
The rookie has his third touchdown of the afternoon, Corey Clement.
Four-yard run.
51-23, the final in that ballgame. Holy mackerel. Corey Clement, 12 carries, 51 yards, two touchdowns. Ajayi, 8 carries, 77 yards, his longest being 46. He ends up scoring on that long run, but Carson Wentz continues to impress. Just under, a tick under 200 yards, 15 to 27, four touchdown passes he threw on the day. He continues to be the real deal. 51-23, the Eagles are now 8-1 on the season. The Broncos, with that defense, fall to 3-5, and they're trying to find their way out of the paper bag right now. Cowboys and Chiefs, Dak Prescott, he finds Cole Beasley for yet another touchdown.
First and goal at the 7. Snap to Prescott, rolling right, throw to Beasley, down to the 2, to the pylon, touchdown to Beasley for the second time today. Third touchdown for Prescott.
Beasley, he dove into the end zone, wrapped the ball around the pylon, and ended up scoring on that one. Four catches, 24 yards, a couple of touchdowns. Dak Prescott, 249 yards on 21 completions, 33 attempts, sacked one time, couple of touchdowns, a quarterback rating of 106.8. Alex Smith, not a bad day at the office, 25 of 34, 263 yards, couple of touchdowns, one costly interception, and a long one for 56 for a touchdown. But all in all, that was to Hill, but all in all, not a great day as the Kansas City Chiefs ended up falling in a good one to the Dallas Cowboys. Cowboys 5-3, Chiefs 6-3 on the season. And then there was the night game. It was the Raiders and the Dolphins. Marshawn Lynch with a 3-yard touchdown plunge.
Derek lines up in the shotgun, not under center, with a first and goal 3-yard line. They got a gun run Lynch here. He's to the side. Gun run Marshawn coming left to right. Hops into the end zone. Touchdown! Raiders! Second rushing touchdown for Marshawn Lynch tonight. He's back. And the silver and black are back.
They ended up getting the win. He is correct. 21 of 30 for Derek Carr. 300 yards, one touchdown, a pick, 99.3 quarterback rating. Jay Cutler, not a bad day at the office. 34 of 42, 311 yards, three touchdowns, not a pick, but they didn't have enough in the end. Marshawn Lynch with a couple of scores, running the football, 14 carries, 57 yards. And the Oakland Raiders get the win in that one. Raiders go to 4-5. Dolphins fall to 4-4. The Monday night game is right here in Green Bay where we're broadcasting from. We're at Hegemeister Park in Green Bay on North Washington Street, but over at Lambeau Field tonight, the 3-4 Lions come in to the host 4-3 Green Bay Packers, hoping that Brett Hundley gets off the schneid tonight and picks up the Packers a victory to go to 5-3 on the season. That is your football frenzy as we do it. When we come back, Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette, he is going to join us breaking down this upcoming matchup next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Everywhere in Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
I mean, we've been very versatile with our offense. You know, obviously Marty is a big-time player, and we'd love to have him out there. But, you know, we got other guys to step into the role. Rich has done a great job for us over the years, having Lance as well, and being able to change up personnel would put different people in the field.
Those are the words of Randall Cobb. Welcome back to the program, The Bill Michaels Show, live today. We are in Green Bay. Compliments for our terrific partner up here, our good affiliate. Best call letters in all of radio, and I've said that time and again, WNFL. We're up here at Hagemeister Park. You can swing by and say hi. If you know where it's at, it's over on Washington Street. Grab lunch, grab a cocktail prior to going over to the game tonight, getting you ready for the Lions and the Packers over at Lambeau Field. This portion of the program brought to you by Neumel Medical Center, whether it's ED, that's got you down, pardon the pun. They have a 98% success rate. That's 98% success rate in treating guys with ED or the low T treatments. And if you want to go in there for more energy, better mental clarity, better mood, better stamina, maybe jumpstart your workout program, feel a little bit better, feel a little more fit, lose some of the belly fat, they can help you out there. 414-455-4451. That's 414-455-4451. Or just the all-in-one weight loss program. Just jumpstart the fitness program. 414-455-4451. 4451. That's the Neumel Medical Center. Bringing him now, Eric Baranchek of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Eric, you know what? I should have called you and just said, come on over to Hagemeister Park, grab some lunch, and hang out for a little bit, and spend a couple of segments on the program. How you been?
I've been good. I'm kind of disappointed by that because I would love to get a free beer like the meter maid. I don't know.
Yeah, well, the meter maid could have got a free beer had she come back. She may come back incognito later on. We'll have to wait and see. Now, if she was riding a horse as a meter maid, I wouldn't have minded that because I could have gotten her and the horse hammered. But you can't do it when they're behind the wheel of a car, I guess. There you have it.
No.
So when you look at this matchup tonight, we were talking about what has to happen, I guess. And I said, look, if it becomes kind of a fight of attrition here. You got to kind of air it out and just let Brett Hundley go down swinging. Do you agree or disagree?
I think more importantly, you got to stop Detroit. You got to. I don't know if they can do it, but they got to stop Detroit. They got to get them off the field on third down, and give them a fighting chance. If it's a high scoring game, or if Detroit starts lighting up the scoreboard, it's not going to end well for the Packers. I mean, I'm not sure that offense with Hundley pulling the trigger is a 30-point offense. I think they're more like a 24-point, 27 on a good day type of offense, and that's what they're going to have to live with. And that defense is going to have to come through with some turnovers and getting some stops on third down. They can't just, you know, let guys, you know, score 30-plus points. It ain't going to happen. They're not going to win. That's it. And I think – To the point about Hundley, I think you got to start him slow, easy, quick reads, run the ball, get the play action to work a little bit, and then start making them feel better and take some shots. I think last week they did too much timing stuff. There just wasn't that type of experience there, and he wasn't ready for that type of game plan.
What do you think when you look at what Brett Hundley can and can't do, what do you think is his strength? Because to me, I know they ran somewhat of that read option at UCLA, and he was a mobile quarterback, and they used his athleticism. But what do you think is his strong suit via the NFL?
I think you got to just move him around. I mean, if they can block and he can get the reads, but after 2.5-3 seconds, he's got to move. And whether he moves downfield or if he just moves the pocket and slides around looking to throw and play a little bit like Aaron plays, and that's – you know, run when you have to safely. Trying to run down the middle typically is a bad deal unless you're going to slide and get good at that. But, you know, try to run to the sticks and just keep the chains moving and stay in front of the sticks, I think, is going to be the hardest part for them to do. And if they can do that, I think that's where he can do it. But I think realistically for him to be successful is going to be moving around in the pocket and making guys miss and maybe, you know, going out to the flat and throwing stuff, you know, when bad things happen. You know, the worst thing for defense is when all of a sudden the quarterback starts moving, because you got to make a choice. You're either going to stay locked onto your receiver or you peek in the backfield to look for that quarterback, and then it could be six. So make teams put pressure on them and make them make mistakes and move around the pocket. Just trying to just run out of them, you know, long term, that's not going to be a good thing.
Defensively speaking, there was a lot of talk last week about Dom Capers and what was needed out of this defense for this team to be successful. And you and I discussed it a little bit. I know we talked about legacies and all that kind of stuff, but you talked about stopping Detroit being the number one thing. Most people seem to think that this defense doesn't have it in them to be a top-flight defense and to be a sustaining defense. What has to happen for that to happen?
Communicate. They have to communicate on the back end, and they have to be everybody has to be on the same page. You know, there's a couple things about that defense. As you know, the bye week, I had nothing better to do but watch past games. So the alarming thing that I saw was their run fits, particularly to the weak side of the ball, was terrible. Guys are over-pursuing. It seems like they don't know where they're supposed to be. There's nobody playing cutback. You know, typically away from the tight end, you have a safety or a corner who's going to have cutback responsibilities, whether it be outside linebacker, safety, corner. Someone's got to be there. There's many times where that wasn't there. Their run fits, when they did give up big yards, their run fits, all of a sudden there's no defense in the world where you just vacate a strong A-gap. It just doesn't happen. Nobody designs a defense to do that. That's suicide. And then on the flip side, you got in the back end, there you got guys playing, you know, half the secondary is playing zone. The other half is playing man. And the communication either coming out of the huddle, coming into the huddle, or on the field just isn't happening. And they need to shore that up and get those things in place so that you can give yourselves a fighting chance. When you're running with a guy and you're supposed to be in zone and now he's wide open with a tight end wide open, the 7-yard game, those are things that just can't continue to happen if they're going to be successful. And unfortunately, those things seem to always happen on third down.
How much better do you think the defense gets with Morgan Burnett coming back?
Well, if you listen to the coaching staff, pretty good. I think the having the communications in his helmet probably is the best spot. And, you go back to that Saints game, and there were times where they weren't even lined up right, or there's 10 guys on the field. And, you know, my question is, where was Clinton Dix on that? Why wasn't he calling for timeout? The leadership spot, and he's not there, or he's not ready for it, or whatever. You know, so, you know, Morgan Burnett coming back there probably can help them a great deal, but they still cannot continue to make those mistakes. And they were making them even when he was in the ballgame early part of the season.
So up front, we talked about pass rush, we talked about Clay, we talked about Nick Perry. We got into this whole discussion today, and as much as I like Nick Perry, now that he's kind of getting that glove off, because we know he's not playing with that giant club anymore, now that he's kind of getting that glove off, how much do you expect more out of him down the road as opposed to when he had the – because when he had the club, I mean, he was just bull rushing people. I mean, I loved what his upper body has become and what his strength has become, but I think he really – more so him – then Clay Matthews needs to be a force. One, because obviously they're paying him and they're committed to him. But two, if they're going to open things up for Adams, for Beagle, for Clay, for all these, Blake Martinez, he has to be the factor up front now, doesn't he?
I don't know if he has it in him to be the factor up front. I mean, he seems to be good when the quarterback is rolling his way. You know, the one sack the guy against the Saints, the tackle tripped over the guard's feet. He didn't do, in my opinion, enough to say this is the guy you hang your hat on. What I think they should try and do is run more tackle stunts with the two guys down on the ground. And I realize when you're playing nickel and nitro and you only got two defensive linemen in the field, you got to pick your spots when you use that type of stuff, because if you do it on a running play, it's going to be a big gainer. But I think they have to generate some pass rush up the middle to make Stafford run right or left into the outside linebackers, whoever that guy is, because they're not getting home, winning the one-on-one matchups off the edge. I mean, there were times against the Saints that, you know, I would have never in my lifetime expected that Clay Matthews would get pass blocked one-on-one by a tight end. I never expected that, and it happened. So they got to get pressure up the gut, and I think they got to turn those guys loose a little bit, maybe do some tackle stunts, or blitz a backer through the A-gap, something to get the quarterback to get off his spot so that the outside linebackers can get home. And to just pin it all on Nick Perry, I think he hasn't proven it over the longevity of his career that he can do that. I think if you're going to pin it on someone, you put it on the shoulders of 97 and 76 and say, fellas, you got to start pinning your ear back. I know you want to be two-gap players, but when it's third and seven, you've got to pin your ear back and get home. And I think that other that formation that they run with one down lineman and they bring in a bunch of backers standing up, mugged up on the line of scrimmage, I think is a mistake. They're giving up leverage right away. Right at the snap of the ball, they're giving up leverage. Let those big guys that are down there with their hand in the dirt all the time, let those guys get home. Give those guys some more opportunities to move that quarterback off the spot, and I think they could be successful. And I fully expect that to happen because those guys down in the dumps, they are playing awesome football against the run. Turn up the game and let them get after the quarterback.
How much do you expect, and then I'll let you go, how much do you expect, if at anything, Montrevious Adam and or Vince Beagle to play in this ballgame?
I would expect for sure on special teams for Vince Beagle. And I think, if the game starts getting out of control, meaning that, you know, all of a sudden Detroit scores a touchdown or two, I think you got to throw him out there. Just see what happens. Just for a couple reps, he can't be any worse than Fackrell. So how, you know, why not do it? They're putting Fackrell in the ball game and giving up anything, you know, running the ball his way, and he hasn't gotten any pressure. I don't think that putting Beagle in the game is going to hurt him. Now, that being said, that defensive staff and that coaching staff, typically in this situation, you know, he might play some special teams and they'll ease him in, and they're not going to, I wouldn't expect them to put him in there for 20 snaps. But if the game starts getting away, I think they got to do it. They got to try something to see if they can get some sort of pressure off the edge.
Oh, as always, Eric, we certainly appreciate it. Good stuff, and then we'll chat again soon as we continue to break this game down after tonight. I'm expecting big things, or not big things, but more out of Brett Hundley. So we'll see if the Packers can walk away with a victory. Good stuff, buddy. We'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. We'll talk to you Friday.
Appreciate it. There you go. Eric Branchek of the Green Bay Press-Gazette joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they begin to get done. Call them, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com, 844-PRIDE, or go to schneiderjobs.com. This portion of the program brought to you by Marshfield Clinic Health System. They're the ones that fixed me up, got me back in the game. And I'm telling you, Dr. Cicchini got my knee going about 3 years ago. Great experience. Biking, more active, and if you've got an extended hospital stay maybe coming up from a hip or a shoulder or knee surgery, you need to know that the Marshfield Clinic Orthopedics can get you back home in as little as 1 day. You heard it right, 1 day, the way they did me. Marshfield Clinic's premier care program offers the latest procedures to get you back to normal and get you back home. Make the call today, 855-MC-ORTHO. That's 855-MC-ORTHO, or go to marshfieldclinic.org. You can find out all about their physicians and services and locations near you. Stick around. More of the Bill Michaels Show broadcasting live, Hagemeister Park here in Green Bay. Another hour yet to go. We'll be back after this.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program. The Bill Michaels Show is on the air. We are broadcasting live. We're at Hagemeister Park. And if you're asking yourself where is that, we are in Green Bay. And, how are you looking? You can stop by and say hi, getting you ready for tonight's game between the Lions and the Packers. And a great group of people have come in and out all day today. So I want to say thanks to everybody for stopping by. Another hour of the program yet to go. And also want to remind you, coming up after the show today, from 2 o'clock until about 4 o'clock, Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, he's going to be here as well. He's going to be doing his local show based out of Milwaukee, and he's going to be here taking over, and he's my partner for the Green and Gold postgame show. So you can come by and say hi to Gary and see what he's got going on. But coming up in the next hour, we're not done yet, because coming up in the next hour, we are going to have some buy or sell, also our predictions for tonight's game. And if you didn't hear it in the first hour of the program, and some of you on the network did not, he just announced that he didn't want to say retirement, but he said he was going to take some time off. But he pretty much said he's retiring. Matt Kenseth from Wisconsin, Cambridge, Wisconsin's own, said that not only is he walking away and feeling good about it and that he's tired, but he also, when asked about the response when I asked him if he's going to go into the television booth like Jeff Gordon and company did, the response was hysterical because – I don't see him doing it anytime soon, put it that way. But you got to stay tuned for that. So stick around for some of Matt Kenseth if you didn't get a chance to hear it. Hey, tomorrow on the program, we're loaded. Peter King from the MMQB is going to be joining us. Brian Billick, our good buddy, the coach, he's going to be here. D.A. from CBS Sports Radio, he is going to be joining us. Paul Emig, Mike Clemens, as well as we break down the Packers and the Lions. So we are going to have a loaded slate tomorrow, talking a lot of football and talking a lot about this Packers matchup and about where the Packers go from here as they get then set to take on the Chicago Bears down at Soldier Field this coming weekend. But we'll be breaking down everything we see here tonight on Monday Night Football, again, getting you ready for the Packers and the Lions. We're going to talk some more Badgers coming up in the next hour as well. We'll do that a little bit, but today is about Green Bay and Detroit and whether or not the Packers with Brett Hundley can get over and knock off a team that's been struggling to put the ball in the end zone. Not struggling between the 20s, 420-something yards of total offense against the Steelers their last time out. However, they weren't able to punch it in. They struggled putting points on the board. So we'll see if the highest-paid quarterback in the National Football League, Matt Stafford, can come into Green Bay and put some points on the board, or if this defensive Dom Capers can hold him out and Brent Hundley and company can hang on to the football. We have another hour yet to go, broadcasting live from Hagemeister Park here in Green Bay on Washington Street. Stop over, say hi. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.